Let's give it up for Ashley, the band. Phenomenal. Apparently, we can just go ahead and go home now. That was beautiful. That really is what we've been talking about. I mean, Mark was spot on, Eric spot on. You know, this has been our fight song, what we've been talking about for the last number of weeks here at Crosspoint. You know, we're fighting for our friends, our neighbors, our families, our communities, people around us we care about, that to our knowledge aren't in a relationship with Jesus. You know, many people see God as a God who runs after them and pursues them to condemn them, to make them feel bad, to, you know, punish them. And what we're wanting to help people see is that God runs after them, but simply to know them, because he simply wants to have a relationship with them. And so that's what we continue to go after here at Crosspoint. It's what drives us every single weekend. We're glad you're here, by the way, this morning. My name's Kurt. It's great to have you here with us this morning. And we're in a big season, as you're hearing, you know, a lot of things happening, a lot of big things coming over these next few weeks. We're going to be changing the game, speaking of game changing, in 2 weeks from, actually a week from this Thursday, is that correct? A week from this Thursday, we begin the early weekend service. And as Eric said, this is going to be the same great kids' environments and coffee and band and everything you experience here. We want that energy to transfer to Thursday, because we've just began to realize there are so many people that have so many other demands on their lives on the weekend. That we said, man, what if we created an opportunity right before the weekend for people to connect with Jesus? And we've been hearing really cool stories about people that are excited because they haven't been in church in a long time and they're planning to be able to be here for Thursday evenings. Now, this is all a part of our broadening kind of game change initiative and us just continuing to change the game on how church is done. And one of the ways we're going to be doing that this week is we've got a prayer initiative happening this Thursday that we want to invite you into. Every single person at Crosspoint, we believe in the power of prayer. In fact, we believe prayer is the foundation that changes things, because God really is the impetus of change. And so, three opportunities this Thursday for you to engage with the entire tribe here at Crosspoint. Number one, you could do a prayer walk through your neighborhood. Anytime between 5 and 8 in the evening, that's about when it gets dark. Just walk your neighborhood. Take your kids, your family, if you have them, maybe neighbors if they attend Crosspoint, and notice what people are doing. Pray for them as you see them. Just pray for your heart to begin to see things the way God's heart sees your community and your neighborhood. And just, you know, pray that people would consider coming to Thursday evenings at Crosspoint if Sunday is a barrier for them. Second opportunity is going to happen right here in this space and in the Commons, actually meeting in the Commons at 7 p.m. Thursday evening. If you want to have a time to pray as a group for everything that's going to happen in this building, and then we're also going to have some individual prayer time of walking through this room and all of our kids' environments and just kind of spending an hour praying over what's going to take place and for our leaders and staff. And then we also have what's called a fourth watch prayer initiative that's going to happen Thursday evening, midnight to Friday morning, 6 a.m. And if you go into the app or the website under what's happening, you can see a little bit more on this. There's a significant power that takes place when people pray in the wee hours of the morning. In fact, this is often when Jesus prayed. This is often when some of the Old Testament heroes prayed, because there's something that happens in those early hours of the morning. And so you can go into the app and you can sign up to take a 30-minute block of time. We're going to give you a prayer guide, so it'll guide you through how to use those 30 minutes, and we just want to unite our entire community in praying this Thursday evening as we prepare to launch this big initiative, which we believe is going to have just some enormous impact in people's lives throughout our community. We've been looking at some metrics over these last number of weeks as we've been preparing for Thursday night, the serving scoreboard. Take a look at this. This is phenomenal. We originally started with a need of 113 volunteers to make Thursdays happen. We're down to 35. Way to go. Holy cow. That is incredible. Yeah, you can see where some of the continued opportunities are to serve. We've had over 80 people over the last few weeks commit to a first serve that are serving, trying out environments. And so we just encourage you, if you have not yet engaged in a first serve and you're here and you're not currently serving on a weekend, to consider doing that. You can do that on this volunteer opportunities card. And this is just phenomenal. We're just asking you to serve 2 times a month in one team, in one environment. And you can see where some of the current needs are still in this stage and in the back with tech and lighting. Don't worry, we do all the training with the tech roles. Some of our kids' environments, obviously hospitality, looks like we're good to go there. So, don't miss this opportunity to be a part of what God's doing. So let me pray for us before we go any further, and then we're going to dive into where we're going today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, and I think for every single person that's gathered in this room today has chosen to be in this dark room on this beautiful Sunday morning, and we're here to engage with you and to seek you, and so we just pray that we'd find you and receive from you today. God, I pray that you'd remove the distractions. Help us to hear from you, what you would have us hear. God, I just pray that our hearts would be beating after the things that your heart beats after. God, that our minds would go after the things your mind goes after. And God, I just pray that you help us to receive today, but also to do, to engage, to see what our role is. And so I just pray that everything that happens over these next few minutes would be in alignment with your heart. And we pray these things according to your identity, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, about 18 months ago, we began this thing called the Game Change Campaign. And you know, it really was to fund the things that we believe are and continue to be close to the heart of God. It's called many of us to stretch beyond our normal giving and give above and beyond. And it's, for the most part, been really a faith-stretching journey for many of us. And so we've been revisiting this at the halfway point. We're 18 months in. And as we prepare this next big initiative that's coming out of the Game Change Campaign. And part of why we're revisiting it is because there's many of us who never heard or were a part of the Game Change Initiative because you're newer to Crosspoint in the last 18 months. And so if this is all new to you, we're wanting to enlist you. We want you to know you can be a part of this initiative. And if you're thinking, gosh, I don't really know what the Game Change is about. I don't really know what the campaign was building into. Well, I want to show you a quick recap video that kind of lays out the things we've been going after over these last 18 months. So take a look at the screens.
In 2009, Malcolm Gladwell wrote this article for The New Yorker called How David Beats Goliath. In it, he explains that when underdogs fight differently, they often win, even when everything we think we know about power says they shouldn't. He gives an example of this girls' basketball coach who had never coached. He'd never even played basketball, and here he was stuck with this group of inexperienced 12-year-old girls. Needless to say, the odds were majorly stacked against them. This coach needed to find a way, any way, to give his team an advantage. So he decided to run a full court press every game, the entire game. And even though what they were doing was perfectly legal, it frustrated the other teams, and the other coaches complained that this was not the way you were supposed to play the game. But that rookie coach and this inexperienced group of girls made it all the way to the championship. They didn't break any rules, but they changed the game, and they won.
On March 4, 2007, Crosspoint went public in the rented cafe of Fall Creek Intermediate School right here in Fishers. Since then, we've grown tremendously, but the goal has remained the same: to create a place to invite our friends to explore questions about God without pretending that they had it all together or wading through a bunch of religious lingo. We've been experiencing this for the good part of 9 years. In fact, many of you are sitting here today because a bunch of entrepreneurial, grassrooty, city-loving, world-changing, money-investing Jesus followers believe that when we run after God, we're running in the right direction. No excuses, no safety nets, just a scrappy, strong team that's following one heavenly leader. Over the past 9 years, God has used this team to bring hundreds of people into relationship with Jesus. And we don't think he's finished using us. In fact, we think we've really only begun. You know, when we moved to the Crosspoint campus a year and a half ago, it was a great, great moment for our tribe. And yet, the goal wasn't for us just to have a nice place to meet where we didn't have to move in the toys or the equipment. It was to maximize our opportunity that God called us to and to be a blessing to our community. In fact, over the years, people have frequently asked, where's Crosspoint going anyway? And oftentimes, I'd say something like, well, you know, God only knows. In fact, in our short history, he's shown us that we're on this amazing journey of creating something that is yet to be fully seen, and we're saying things that aren't being said, and we're trusting God to do something amazing and meaningful in and through a whole bunch of imperfect people. And I'm going to be honest with you, that continues to be exciting to us. And so here we are at the start of 2016, and over this past month, our attendance has been higher than it's ever been. We're approaching 600 people in our weekend services and children's environments. We're seeing friends and coworkers and family members. We're seeing people from our neighborhoods and our community walking through our doors and experiencing the life-changing message of a God who gets down on their level and meets them exactly where they are. And why does all of this continue to happen? Well, first, it's because God is a gracious, good, good God. And honestly, we've had the privilege here at Crosspoint to have his favor on us since the very beginning.
And then second, I believe it's because we've been relentless in seeking to create an environment for people to grow an intimate relationship with Jesus and meaningful relationships with others. In fact, over the past 3 years, our teammates here at Crosspoint have given over $700,000 above and beyond their normal giving to allow us to elevate our efforts by bringing freedom to our community, by building the Crosspoint campus as a place to continue to broaden our reach. And now, we believe God has even more in store. The Game Change campaign is a different kind of initiative. For the most part, it's not going to be about brick and mortar, but instead, it's about building a strong foundation for a long-term vision that will provide a pathway for sustainable change and freedom for our friends, our neighbors, and beyond. This is going to fuel 4 initiatives that will enhance current ministries to optimum impact, and it's going to resource ministry beyond our walls at the highest level ever in the history of Crosspoint. Let me show you what this is going to look like. The first initiative is ongoing operations. It takes a lot of resources to fund the ongoing work of the church. Game Change will help continue to fuel the ongoing ministry, physical space, as well as supplement our mortgage and building needs as we strive to maximize our impact through the other elements of the Game Change campaign. The second key initiative is ministry expansion. One of the things we know is that sustainable change requires strong foundations. Progress requires infrastructure, and infrastructure provides pathways for sustainable growth and development. Through increasing key ministry staffing, we will expand our ability to serve and reach our community. This includes additional staffing support in kids and student environments, hospitality care and small group ministries, creative and worship staffing, as well as a new role with local and global mission initiatives. Each of these will allow us to broaden our ministry reach in our community, as well as better equip those who call Crosspoint home. The reality is, without sustainable infrastructure, we do not reach our full redemptive potential. The third initiative is building upgrades and improvements. The most common way people are introduced to Crosspoint is through our weekend services and kids' environments. Game Change will allow us to make necessary upgrades to be more guest-friendly. This initiative includes improving security, accessibility, and theming in kids' environments, making the commons a more attractive space for connection and fellowship, improving some sound challenges we have in the venue so we can be better neighbors, as well as improving interior and exterior signage. These investments will help us make the Crosspoint experience more guest and user-friendly for our friends, neighbors, and community, all the more opening up opportunities for life change. The fourth area is new initiatives. Each year, we mobilize hundreds of people in serving our community through things like school uniforms, providing Spread Some Cheer Christmas meal boxes, the Angel Tree Christmas gifts, as well as building into those in poverty and mentoring students. We want to do more in our Go Local initiatives, and Game Change will fuel that. Maybe you've heard of mission trips. We want to provide opportunities for people to go on short-term mission trips throughout the world with our missional partners because we believe that something unique happens when you leave the familiar surroundings and serve others on a distant soil, ultimately creating life change on both sides of the ocean. We build our current space with the intention of multiplying our efforts by providing multiple worship services. The Game Change initiative will provide a pathway to continue to reach our friends and neighbors in our current services and eventually being able to add a third weekend service option. And last, we'll begin research and development on a longer-term strategy that will allow us to take Crosspoint to additional cities where our friends and neighbors live in future years. That way, people can spend more time connecting with each other and with God and less time driving or just not going to church at all.
All right, and so, you know, as we look at these numbers, it's interesting because the Game Change Initiative, you kind of got a picture of what we've been going after. We had committed originally $888,000 to the Game Change Initiative. Over 50% of that's in. I mean, we're on pace to accomplish what's going on. Now, one of the things we know, because this is our third rodeo with something like this, is that we're going to bring in about 20% less than what was committed by the time we get to the end of the campaign. And so there's still a need for us to stay diligent, and there's still a need for all of us to be engaged. because we believe what God is doing is going to require some of this funding. Now, you saw the four initiatives, just real quick hits on a few of them. Many of those are already happening. There's a few that are still yet to happen in the next 18 months. But, you know, ongoing operations, I mean, this goes to doing everything from supplementing our mortgage to ongoing expenses. Sometimes people are like, well, where does all the money go? Well, you're drinking it right now. I see some of you doing this. Like, that's where some of the money goes, you know, because we continue to build an environment for people to be able to come and experience Jesus, to feel comfortable, to somehow having a cup of coffee in your hand. And so those are ongoing operations, ministry expansion. We've been adding staff. We've got four additional staff members, some part-time, some full-time, that are a result of the Game Change Initiative. Building updates, you're seeing some of those happening throughout the last 18 months, from new signage on the pillar outside. We've got a new sign coming out near the road soon. Some improvements to the coffee area, some of our kids' environments. Still more of those planned, as well as new initiatives. And of course, the new Thursday evening early weekend service is one of the big initiatives of us expanding, you know, our opportunity to reach our community. And all of these things happen because of your generosity. And so today, I want to talk about generosity. I want to talk specifically about financial generosity because, you know, when you look at the life of Jesus, I think all of us would agree, regardless of your spiritual orientation, that Jesus was one of the most influential people that ever lived. You know, I think we'd agree that he was one of the best teachers that ever walked the earth. I think most people, regardless of spiritual orientation, would say, yeah, Jesus was a good model for living. And today, I want us to see that Jesus not only was those things, but he also is the most generous person that ever lived. And so we're going to take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and we're going to spend some time in 2 Corinthians today. And 2 Corinthians is interesting. This is where Paul's talking to the city of Corinth. This is one of the big game-changing church communities that Paul actually started as a brand new church startup. And they're just doing game-changing works all over the place. Really cool things happening there. But that doesn't mean that there aren't some problems there. There are definitely some problems within that church community, as there are in all church communities. But nonetheless, they are game-changing. So here's what it says about Jesus as Paul's writing to this city of Corinth and the church there. He says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich." And so the Bible tells us right here that Jesus, you know, before he was born, before the first Christmas as we know it, all right, before Jesus comes to the earth, that he was existing somewhere spiritually in the cosmos before the earth was created. And so when Jesus actually comes to earth, when he comes down among humankind, you know, he leaves all of the goodness, all the riches of heaven. And so when he comes down to earth, he actually comes to earth just like you and I. He comes through a human birth canal and emerges into the world. And when he does this, he divests himself. He becomes poor. He divests himself of all of the riches he had in heaven to come down here among you and I. And not only that, he was also without sin. He was without any wrongdoing in his life. And so while he was here on earth, he teaches us and he instructs us and he models for us. But ultimately, at the end, he actually divests himself again by going to the cross and taking on all of my debt and all of your debt in order that you and I might get rid of our spiritual deficit and we might become rich by giving us all the goodness of heaven. And so this is the picture that we get of this generous person known as Jesus. Now, I don't know if you've noticed this. I've noticed over the years that the people who are most generous are the greatest forgivers. Have you ever noticed that? I've also noticed that the people who are most generous are the best tippers. Have you noticed that ever? I mean, have you ever been to a restaurant with somebody and like people who don't forgive well, people who aren't generous either way, they don't tip well either, right? It's like you're eating with them and they're always looking for a reason to send their food back. You know what I'm talking about? Like, oh, they didn't prepare this the right way. I'm going to send that back. I hope they take it off my bill. You know, and so none of us do that, right? No, none of you do that, right? But we've been around people that do this, right? I mean, sometimes I'm the one, like I'm with somebody, I see what they leave as a tip and I go back and throw a few extra dollars on the table because I'm like, that's terrible. You know, and so it's like they also tip like to the penny, right? They like get their calculator out, 15% exactly. If they can't get out of the tip, then they figure a way how to do it exactly. And then they see that little disclaimer on the menu and they like 18% gratuity added to parties of eight or more. They're like, oh, they're ripping the American public off. You know, this is just a scam. And, you know, this is what people who generally aren't generous do. Right? I've just noticed that people who roll with life are people who get over grievances and they're generally generous. They're also people who can write checks. Not because they have a ton of money, but because they're generous, because they've learned how to financially divest themselves. And for some reason, these two things go hand in glove. All right, they just do. They did with Jesus, and they do with every single person who's a generous person. So today, I want to coach you. I want us to step in the locker room a bit. I'm not going to be teaching today. I'm not going to be preaching. One of my primary roles here at Crosspoint is to coach. That's what I'm constantly doing with my team. When I meet with you one-on-one, or even as we meet in this room every week, I'm coaching, really. I even introduce myself oftentimes not as a pastor, but I'm a spiritual coach. I'm a spiritual mentor. And so I'm going to coach a little different than if I were sitting down one-on-one, having a cup of coffee over a table with you. There's a little more intensity that happens in the locker room, and I want you to know that as we go through what we're going to look at today, I don't want anything from you today. I actually want something for you, all right? I want us to all get to a place where we experience certain things that only come when we live a life of generosity. All right, now next weekend, we're going to have the chance to declare ourselves on this Game Changers envelope. If you, for some of us, this is going to be saying, hey, I'm continuing what I've already committed to, or I'm increasing. Maybe God's just blessed you and God's prompting you to do more, or maybe you need to adjust your commitment. You've had some things happen and you're not going to be able to fulfill your original commitment. That's fine. Just make that adjustment. Maybe you're here for the first time hearing this and you've not been a part of this and you're going to make an 18-month commitment, because we want every single person to have the chance to be in on what God's doing through this. And just by the way, my salary doesn't change based on how this goes, all right? Like, I don't work on commission. And now that's an interesting thought, by the way. I ought to go think about that sometime. But, you know, I don't. The governance board sets my salary. And so you know, my paycheck does not go up and down based on how this thing goes, all right? That's just something to keep in mind. So today, listen, I've never met anybody in America that would not say that they're not generous, right? I mean, how many of us in this room would say, oh, I'm not generous? Anybody? Yeah, at least as far as I can see, none of us are raising our hands. I mean, in America, most people are like, oh, man, I'm very generous, right? I mean, and so if you didn't raise your hand, as I didn't see anybody raise their hand, or maybe if in your mind you're like, well, I'm not raising my hand, but I'm really not very generous. If you even had that thought in your mind, you know what you are? You actually get the self-awareness award. That's what you get, all right? You get the honesty award because, you know, so many times we often think we're way more generous than we actually are. And every now and then we need a dose of reality. You know when that dose of reality comes? It comes every April 15th when you do your taxes. Every April 15th, when you look at your income and you look at that compared to your nonprofit donations, that is a dose of reality. And sometimes we think, man, I'm really generous. And then we see that. And we see our contributions, and we're like far south of 10%, even far south of 5%, maybe even far south of 3%. And some of us grumble, I'm generous. It just doesn't show up on a 501c3 document. That's all it didn't do. Okay, well, so what do? Like, every time you're in the Starbucks line, you, like, buy for everybody or something? I mean, is that like, I don't know, your 0.03% of generosity? I mean, where are we generous? See, here's the thing. The starting point to generosity, the starting point to growth, is understanding that I've just got to start somewhere. All right, so as we think about this today, it's not defending why I've done what I've done or coming up with excuses. The starting point of growth is saying, wherever I am, all right, I'm going to start there and I'm going to move to someplace different. Now, every time we come into these campaign series or these revisits, I'm going to be honest with you, we expect our attendance to go down, 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 and it does every single time. All right, we're down about 20% over these last 3 or 4 weeks than we were the previous number of weeks. All right, because people don't want to be challenged. People don't want to be coached. We don't want to be pushed beyond what we're currently doing. All right, so man, way to go on being here this morning. I really applaud you for being here today. I've been pushing y'all series. All right, I'm going to continue to push. I'm going to continue to challenge us to grow. All right, to get to new places, to get out of what we've been doing, and to try to get to an entirely different place. And it starts with starting with where I am, all right? And so, you know, one of the things that we know that great game changers do is game changers learn how to change their game, right? That's what great game changers do. They learn to say, okay, here's where I am, and I need to get to a different place. I got to change my game. We see this in the sports world, right? I mean, think of any great athlete that's been a game changer in the sporting venues over the years. Here's one right here. I mean, Michael Jordan, you talk about a game changer, right? Probably like the ultimate game changer, comes into the league, NBA, phenomenal athlete. But by the end of his career, he's a much more dynamic athlete because he learned how to develop the team around him. It wasn't just about being a superstar. It was about building into all the people around him. Here's another one. Now, you're not going to like this one, but Tom Brady. How did Tom Brady change the game? Well, he learned how to deflate footballs. That's what he... No, that was bad of me, all right? Now, listen. Hey, if you're any sports fanatic at all, you have to admit Tom Brady is a phenomenal athlete and phenomenal game changer. This guy has the ability, he'll lose receivers, he'll lose teammates, and he has the ability to call his team together and make his team better than they are. He is one of the best game changers in the game today. All right, here's another one you'll like a little better, Peyton Manning. All right, one of our own. Talk about a guy, again, who came into the league. Not only was he a field general, but by the end of his career, even after he got injured, he changed his game. Right, he had a couple really successful years. All right, went back to the Super Bowl. Did he win the Super Bowl in Denver? Yeah, he did, didn't he? And yet he wasn't near the athlete or had the flexibility he did in the years previous because he learned to change his game. In fact, it was said in this moment when Brady and Manning played each other for the final time in this photo, Tom said to Peyton, "Congratulations, Peyton, on an incredible career. You changed the game forever, and you made everybody better around you. It's been an honor." See, you recognize when you're around people who are game changers. Because game changers, they actually understand that their role is to make everybody around them better. And it's not because they have great skills. It's not just because they, you know, have phenomenal attributes, physical attributes. It's because they have learned to grow and change with the game over the years. All right? And here's the thing. Everybody who gets deeper with God, everybody who gets more intimate with God, everybody who has more of God's power working through their life, they learn how to change their game. They learn how to adjust. And so three things I want us to look at today. Three things of generous people. Generous people do three things really, really well. All right, number one, generous people are methodical. People who just have generosity eke out of them, they're very methodical. What does it mean to be methodical? Well, it means they have a method to how they give. Whether that's giving their time, serving repetitively in the same place, having the same impact, hitting the same nail on the head over and over, realizing the cumulative effect of my time in the same place, in the same environment, with the same group of people. Or if that's saying, I'm going to continue to methodically give. I'm not going to leave my giving and my financial giving up to, you know, I hope I have something left at the end of my paycheck. All right, the starting point is always saying, I'm going to do something and I'm going to decide right now how that's going to go. All right, take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Again, this is the book of game changers in Corinth. They're doing something that's changing the game. Paul's kind of recording it. Here's what he says then. He says, on the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections have to be made. He's basically saying, I don't want to have to come and twist your arm every time collections are needed. And so this is how things got funded back in the first century. He said, first of all, set aside a sum of money. All right, he said, this is God's money so that it's there, so it's dedicated to be set aside. Now, back then, they didn't have Apple Pay or PayPal or, you know, a giving app and the CrossPoint app. They didn't have that, so they had to be diligent to set it aside. And basically, Paul says, do that on the first day of every week. All right, that was his encouragement. Now, for me, I do that every time I get a paycheck. Every time an auto draft paycheck hits our account, that next day there's an auto draft that goes out into our giving. All right, it's very methodical. He also says, set an amount. He says, don't be like, well, I'll see if there's enough left. He says, no, you know, be a leader with your money, right? Decide ahead of time what you're going to do. Set a percentage. See, every generous person knows when and how much of their income is going back to generosity. Every single generous person does. They know what their baseline giving percent is, right? They don't leave it to chance. We don't leave things to chance that are important to us, right? I mean, your mortgage payment, you probably don't leave that to chance. It's probably an auto payment. Your car payments, your child care payment. Well, I think I'll pay the preschool if I got enough left at the end, all right? You won't have a preschool at the end of that, right? Whatever's important to us, we methodically walk it out. This is what generous people do. Number two, every generous person is sacrificial. Now, for some reason, whenever the word sacrificial comes up, we equate it with pain and suffering. We think, I'm going to be living in a van down by the river. You guys don't know what that is? Take a look.
Living in a van down by the river.
You know, some reason we think I'm be naked and living in Noblesville or Pendleton, wherever, I don't know. You know, I don't know why Noblesville, it just starts with an N. But, you know, I'm be naked. We think God's going to strip me bare of everything I have if I choose to be sacrificial. No. No, sacrifice is simply meaning there's certain things I could have that I don't have because of my giving. There's certain updates I could do to my house that I'm not currently doing because of my giving. There's certain digits I could have in some of my investment accounts that I currently don't have because of my giving. See, sacrifice is where we strategically decide, I'm going to do something, I'm going to be generous here, and as a result, that money's not going to be somewhere else. All right? In fact, again, Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. He says, we want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. Macedonia is another set of game changers. Changing the game across the Mediterranean rim back in the first century. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord. Now, the first thing, a couple things here. The first thing that jumps out to me is that last phrase, of their own accord. See, there's no fair share thinking here. All right, this isn't like, hey, here's your part, here's what you need to give, here's what you need to do. No, we don't do any of that. It's not like corporate coming in and saying, here's the bare minimum you need to give to the United Way or whatever happens in your place of work. All right, it says of their own accord, which means they methodically figured out what they were going to give. And not only did they give that, they not only gave out of their means, but it says they gave beyond their means. All right, now what does it mean to give beyond your means? That doesn't mean you're giving off your credit card and never paying it off, right? Don't do that. It's not a good idea. All right, don't like give out of debt, all right? That's never a good idea. So how do you give beyond your means? What does that mean? Well, it means you commit money that you currently don't have within your possession that you believe out of faith is going to come your way. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, it means you might say, okay, well, I've got an income number right now, and in this next year, I'm going to get a raise, and it's typically a certain percentage, or I've got a bonus, and it's usually this amount. And so out of what I believe is going to be coming to me, I'm going to make a commitment. I'm going to say, if that comes, if God, you know, his blessing in that way comes my way, then out of that, I'm going to give a portion of that. I don't currently have it, but I'm going to make a commitment out of that, all right? And when you do this, you're giving beyond. You're having an intention to give beyond your means. And it also means we sacrifice. During the last three campaigns, really, our family, one of the things we've gone without, I know many of you have gone without, is cable TV. In the first campaign, we just decided, we looked at our cable bill, and we were trying to find things we could give up to point that money to something here instead of something we'd enjoyed at home. And, you know, this whole idea of mindless, numb-bending, you know, time in front of the TV. As much as I enjoyed that, we got rid of that. And it cost like $120 from our budget. And you know what's ironic is we were actually going to sacrifice that for this campaign as well because we've got used to not having that in our routine. And God created a blessing. We actually renegotiated our internet bill. And as a result of that, they said it's cheaper if you take basic cable and instead of not having cable. I'm like, God bless America. You can have cable and it's cheaper than if I just pay my internet bill. And so, you know, we created a savings and we gave out of that. We've given up eating out a couple times a month. For our family, that's like $50 each time. So, I mean, there's another $100 going to our investment. We were refinancing our home at the start of the Game Change campaign. And we had some ideas of how we wanted to use the couple hundred dollars we're going to be saving through the refinance. But instead, we said, you know what, God? We feel like you're prompting us to take the savings off our refinance and monthly make that a part of what we're giving above and beyond our normal giving back to Crosspoint for the Game Change initiative. And so these are some of the ways that we've processed and we've created space and we've sacrificed. And I'm going to be honest with you, we have been blown away at how God continues to bring blessings to us on these fronts. Blown away. And is it because we faithfully give? I don't know. Possibly. I mean, is it because God's just a generous, good God and he likes blessing his children? Possibly. I don't know why we continue to experience the blessings. And it's not that there haven't been bumps in the road. I mean, we discovered Julie had breast cancer 6 months ago, and, you know, she had a surgery and 6 weeks of radiation or 5 weeks of radiation. Those were definitely not expenses we planned on. And yet, what I hope you can see is when you're generous, it's hard to not see how God is being generous with you. It's just a benefit of being generous. So every generous person is methodical. Every generous person is sacrificial. And here's the interesting one. This one's interesting because this is very counterintuitive, the third thing. Every generous person is cheerful. It's cheerful. 2 Corinthians 9 says this. It says, each one must decide, must give as he has decided in his heart. And so it says, as he's decided in his heart, it says, this is like you figure out your own method. You figure out your own sacrifice. So each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. I mean, we're coaching this morning. I'm challenging. I'm pushing. I'm encouraging. We're not arm twisting. We're not compulsing. Not saying, here's what you have to do. That's between you and God. And he says, for God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. Now, I never fully understood this verse until I began to connect it to the next verse. See, whenever you look at the scripture, you always have to look at it in the context of what's going on beyond just that one verse. Because you can always take one verse and you can twist it however you want to twist it to make it say whatever you want it to say. All right, but you got to look at it in context, what's going on in the bigger picture. So Paul says this, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Then he goes on in the next verse, and he says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. And so how is it that you can be cheerful when you're being methodical and you're being sacrificial, and you're like, oh my word, I'm gonna have nothing living in a van down by the river? How can you be cheerful in that moment? One, because God doesn't strip you of everything, but two, it's because God says it right here, more grace comes to you. He says there's gonna be more grace that's gonna abound in your life. All right, it's absolutely true. In the midst of difficult times, when you're feeling the financial tension of saying, gosh, I don't know how we're going to get through this next month, when you're generous, that God's grace somehow abounds in that situation. All right? You begin to see things, experience things. I'm just telling you, God's grace is there. And there are things, you think, this thing should devastate me. This news of this illness or these medical expenses should devastate me. And somehow, God's grace comes in. And I can't fully describe it. I wish I can't fully quantify it. All right, but anybody that fits these three categories of methodical, sacrificial, and cheerful, that they would tell you it's true, that there's an extra dose of grace that comes their way. I mean, Julie and I felt it over the last year. I mean, we felt in incredible ways. I mean, others at Crosspoint that fit these three categories, I mean, if I had time, I could tell you story after story or bring people up and have them tell you their story of how they've been generous and yet they had unexpected medical things hit and unexpected illness and unexpected financial hits. And yet, in the midst of that, there's a cheerfulness because they're like, oh my word, look at what God is doing. It's just something that happens in the spiritual realm. There's an extra dose of joy and grace. And it doesn't always mean that God's bringing more riches, all right? Sometimes we're like, oh, if I give, I get more money. Well, not necessarily. Not necessarily. It means God's grace is richer in your life, and you appreciate things. Tell you what, you're going to hear more on our story and my wife's story in the I Am journey. There's going to be a week where we're going to share a bit on that. In terms of my wife, you know, being diagnosed with cancer earlier this year. But I tell you what, that whole time of year for us, I mean, within a day or two after we found out her cancer diagnosis, we found that Julie's dad was going in for quintuple bypass surgery, which we didn't expect him to make it through. He's died on the table a few times during heart procedures. Her mom had passed away just months before. And yet, when we look back at that season, really the last year, I don't know that there's been a season in our lives where we've experienced more of God's grace and God's joy in our lives than we have over these last 6-8 months. It's hard to quantify, and yet I can tell you what we've experienced. There's an abundance. There's a joy that comes when we're generous. And this is what I want for you. This is what I believe God wants for every single one of us. And it starts with generosity. So, as we think about what this means today, I want you to take out your connection card and a couple of your cards here. A couple things we're asking you to consider. One, you know, one of your next steps this week is just return to next weekend. Next weekend, we're going to be wrapping this series up. We're going to be declaring on this envelope. In fact, if you're not going to be here next weekend, you can go ahead and fill this out today. If you'd like to do that, if you want to re-up what you're currently giving or you need to adjust your commitment, or if you want to be a part of this for the very first time. There's opportunities to prayerfully consider, you know, how you're serving. There's a table in the commons where you can sign up for a first serve today if you want to do that, or you can fill this card out. We got the prayer initiative coming up this week. I mean, it's a way to be generous with your time, to just engage with all of us here at Crosspoint and engage in the power of prayer, which we believe, you know, sets a foundation for what God's continuing to do. And so all kinds of ways for us to connect. Now, one thing we know, just one more coaching point today before we wrap up, as you think about these things, you know, we know physiologically we need a certain amount of stress to grow, right? I mean, we know that. We know physically that if you're going to grow physically, I've been doing push-ups for the last few weeks, and I know that when I do push-ups like this, you know, I feel a stress on my muscles, and all of a sudden, my muscle fibers start tearing as I start getting tired, and there's a resistance and a stress that actually creates the growth, right? We know that physiologically that we have to have resistance against our muscles in order for them to grow to a different place. And this is the way it is in every single aspect of our lives, right? There has to be certain stressors in every area of our life that cause us to be able to grow. In fact, the medical data is very, very clear on this, right? In fact, you know, if you're going to go after the American dream of, you know, retiring early and not having any commitments, you know, for the rest of your life, and, you know, sitting on a massive nest egg and moving to Florida and having mosquitoes suck in your veins every single day, and, you know, walking around chasing a white ball on the golf course and watching The Price is Right at 11 o'clock every morning, you know, I mean, listen, the medical data says you're going to die early is what it says. If you have no thing that's stressing you in your life, you're going to die early. Now, those are just the medical facts. I'm not saying don't golf every day. I'm not saying, you know, don't watch The Price is Right every day. I'm not, well, that one I might be saying, don't do that, all right? But the point is that we need stress on our lives in order to grow. And this is how it is with generosity, all right? It puts an appropriate stress on our system, and it makes us stronger. It elevates our game. And the question is, are we going to lean into it? Are we going to lean into it? So next week, we're going to ask you to declare, or you can do it today if you're not going to be here next week, on this envelope. Just here's where I am. Here's where we are over the next 18 months. This is what makes Crosspoint continue to go after the mission. I'm going to be doing this on my envelope as well. Again, you can connect with volunteer opportunities. Stop by the table, prayer initiative this week. And we're just trying to get every single one of us engaged in some level, whatever that looks like for us, so you can say, hey, I'm a part of what God is doing, because we believe God is writing an incredible story through our lives and the way he wants to continue to use us in our communities. All right, let's stand. I'm going to pray for us before we sing a few songs and get out of here. Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for this time today. God, probably most importantly, I thank you for divesting yourself. Of all that you had in heaven, Jesus, you chose to come down here with us and to give up the riches of heaven so that we could be rich, so that we would no longer have to be identified by our spiritual deficit. In fact, if there's anybody in here right now, God, that's just warming to you right now, maybe for the very first time, they've begun to see that you're a God who runs after us to love us, who simply wants to know us. And if we've never received that before and we just want to receive that right now, God, it can happen right now by us just saying, Jesus, I want that. May I have your grace in my life. I want to receive you today. I want to know your riches. I want to ask you to remove my spiritual deficit. I know you did that on the cross. And so, God, I just embrace that today. And that new life begins right now. God, my prayer is that every single one of us would receive from you today. God, for those of us who have been following and receiving ongoing from you, I pray that you'd help us not to be driven by fear, not to be driven by a scarcity mentality, but God, that we would live out of the great generosity that you've bestowed on us. And I know some of us are nervous, God. Some of us we're anxious about what this is going to mean or how we're going to walk this out over the next 18 months. We don't know how it's all going to work out. So I just pray, God, that you would remind us that we're yours, we are your children. And when we follow you, we're heading in the right direction. And so God, I just pray that you continue to write this story. Just use your pen and just write this story into our lives and use us as you continue to do your work and restore people's lives all around us.